You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side continuing to dicker when the country expects us to come together and address this problem.
March the 23rd, 2020, Senator Mitch McConnell speaking from the well of the Senate last night, saying we are ready to pass this stimulus package to get money into the hands of American people that are suffering because of either layoffs, or they're having to stay home, or their jobs are being curtailed, or the business is dropped off. In other words, what can we do to help Americans at this point? And who's standing in the way? The Democrats. This time, I hate to admit, they've done it. I did not think the resist movement could get any worse. I really did not think. I praised the other day New York Governor Cuomo, as he talked about how President Trump is doing everything possible to help New York State, and said, we're in this together. We're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're Americans. No, when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, she's a Democrat first and by God forever. The problem with the stimulus package in the view of Nancy Pelosi, and I want you to keep in mind, this came through the House, it's now in the Senate, and then she comes roaring back into town. She flies back in to D.C. to say, I want to see that bill going to the Senate. It's not good enough, because they want to load it up with pork. They're looking for an opportunity to get their foothold in on some other items at the same time. My friend, that's very clear. They want the bill to prop up Planned Parenthood. They want the bill to include not just reducing, not just postponing giving added time to student loans, but to wipe out all student loans. What the hell does that have to do with what we're trying to do right now? Nothing. Nothing except trying to make political points. Now, when I have seen some friends of mine, and they're still friends of mine, but they're saying, Trump doesn't know what he's doing. When are he's going to get out of the way and let the adults do the job? Let the adults into the room. By God, we've got adults in the room, and they've been trying to do it. And that includes Democrats as well that are taking part in getting this bill passed. They got it through the House. They're ready to go through the Senate. And here comes Nancy Pelosi roaring back into town saying, no, put a stop on it. You don't have everything in there I want. I want more funding for Planned Parenthood. I want to get rid of student debt. Now, we can make this a blame game forever and ever. That's not the point here. We need to be resolving this. I thought, as I said the other day, when I ran extensive remarks of Andrew Cuomo praising President Trump, and he was not doing it just to be flattering Trump. He was doing it because he genuinely believed this president is helping. Same thing, Governor Newsom out of California. Same thing. From the East Coast to West Coast, those two governors say the president's been doing everything he can. He's doing it right, and we're in this together. It's not a time for partisan bickering. The word is not getting through to their infantile child, Nancy Pelosi, and those lackeys following around. We're going to get into this in more detail. And part of the problem they've got going on in the Senate right now, the rules say to be voting, you have to be present. This day and age, they can certainly do remote and could be verified. It's not like the old days where you wouldn't know if someone else is substituting. They could do it Is it time to change that? We're going to get into that because it's haunting a lot of stuff right now. But we're going to get into the drugs they're testing right now. Are they any good? And you're going to hear a story of a young woman who's been battling with her immune system long before this. So now she is one of those extremely concerned about how you and your neighbors and everyone else deals with getting out in public and possibly moving around freely. Or then again, do we need to loosen the restrictions? Oh, I got so much more here. I'm going to have to take a break. But I want you to know, we've got a lot of material to cover. You make sure you let your friends, even your enemies, know we're on the air. They should hear this. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night, heard mama crying that something wouldn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's your red meat, and we continue talking about coronavirus, COVID-19, China virus, because it is from China. Joe Griffin joining us from the Heritage Foundation. Joe, glad to have you back on board.
Hey, thank you for having me, Larry.
So it looked like we were getting close. The House came up with a bill, a stimulus package, to get money into the hands of American people. And then last night it all went to hell, and Nancy Pelosi comes flying in on her private jet and says, not enough, and I want money for Planned Parenthood and everything else I want to add. What is going on?
Yeah, this is a disappointing. Though there are obviously pieces in this legislation that I'm personally troubled by. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. There's good, for instance, in trying to make it possible for employers to keep people on the payroll throughout this 30 to 60 day possible shutdown across cities and states. And there's a lot in here that we should give pause on, such as bailouts for entire industries. But what went down over the weekend was pure politics, because we saw that there was an agreement between Democrats and Republicans to get this passed, and at the last minute, it was completely, or at least a scuttle for the time being. What we should not be doing is playing politics with this. Disagreements over policy, that's great. That's why we have Congress. That's why we have a free media. We should be discussing that, but we should not be making this into a political football, and that's exactly what happened over the weekend.
You've got last night, before you join us, I played a clip from Senator McConnell, Majority Leader, saying, if we don't get this done by tomorrow, we are failing the American people. In other words, he's saying today, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is indicating it's going to be. And I agree there's some things in there I don't like either. I do have a concern about money just being thrown at the airlines to help cover some of their other issues. But our first priority should be right now is helping the American people. I've already heard enough of the Democrats say that a lot of this will benefit corporations. Well, sometimes benefiting a corporation helps the American people as well with jobs. But do you see movement? Do you think it's going to happen today? And then what?
Well, I do think that politically this is going to have to get done. My fear is that with anything that is rushed, even when things have to be rushed, in this situation, yes, there should be this should be done in an expedited manner. But anytime you see these rushed proposals through, whether it was Obamacare, whether it was the stimulus, the bailouts of 2008, or now whether it's the coronavirus response, there's always that risk, and I would say even that likelihood, that during that rush, a lot of items are going to be placed in there that either are unnecessary or actually are harmful. And I think you brought up the airline sector. There likely will be some sort of a bailout, at least in the form of loan or loan guarantees for industries. And I think we should be taking a deep pause if we're doing that. But you know what was amusing, if you want to use the word, was that initially the airline industry came together and they weren't just asking for federal guarantees on loans. They tried to get through an outright grant of tens of billions of dollars. And I think we can all be thankful that there is a squash put on that at the very least.
You know, we've got a major hotel chain just announcing it's going to furlough tens of thousands of workers. We've got other companies doing the same thing. We got small businesses that are having to shut down their shops. They don't have people coming in. We got restaurants laying off wait staff left and right, people that live pretty much paycheck to paycheck. And we were told the other day that if we can get this through quickly, checks can be in their hands in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and we think that there's a way to go about this. The Heritage Foundation has actually laid out several proposals that would in some ways actually go further than this legislation in directing aid to those who are directly impacted by this. And we have a lot of people. The Congress has been talking about getting this mandatory government-subsidized sick leave through. And look, when you have people that are laid off during this coronavirus pandemic because they're sick or because they have to self-quarantine, I'm all for directing federal aid to help those individuals through the time, to those companies, keep them on the payroll. But there's another group of people, though, that they can't, it's not that they're sick, they can't go to work because the state and local governments have closed down their businesses. We should be looking at, instead of giving everybody in this country $1,000 and $2,000 checks, let's focus on getting aid to those people. There's a lot of bartenders, a lot of servers, a lot of people at barbershops and nail salons, and even at factories that have been shut down. It's not that they're sick. They're not allowed to go to work.
Yeah, they can't do anything about it.
I wanted targeting need towards them.
Listen, we go after those who try to profiteer in a natural disaster. If somebody has bottles of water that were 99 cents and they now want to charge $20 a bottle because they think they can force it on you, we go after them. We go at. In this case, I see politicians, and that would include on both sides, by the way, and industries rushing to profiteer off a national crisis for our nation.
Yeah, and you know, we need to really keep the long term in mind here. There are some actions that are being taken, and look, this is an unusual situation where you have businesses that have been forcibly shut down. And I'm not saying that those requirements aren't proper. In some instances, they quite possibly are, but they're not operating. We should do something about them. I'm fine with that, but we always have to remember, though, there is a price attached to this, and you have the Federal Reserve, for instance, that will be effectively printing hundreds of billions of dollars, if not more, to go ahead and give these entities a way to continue on through the crisis, regardless of whether that's right or not. We do have to always keep in mind that that will have a longer-term impact. So we need to make sure that this aid, overall, is temporary, is transparent, and it's targeting those who are directly impacted. Especially when it comes to what the Federal Reserve is doing with a lot of the bailout.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to bring up that Federal Reserve issue. And today the markets are down. We're down, let me see, last I saw another 800 points. Even though in the beginning when the announcement came out today the Fed was going to step forward and do this, it looked good. Now it's going the other way. I mean, I don't know if we're so much in a free fall now because we seem to have gridlock again on Congress. If you've got members of Congress insisting they want Planned Parenthood, they want to extend to wipe out all student debt, and we want to, you know, butter up some of these industries that are not part of the issue at this point.
Well, look, even that Senate bill, despite the fact there is some good in it, it really does not pass that test of being targeted and temporary and directed economic policy. It is a smorgasbord of spending. Like I said, there's good parts in it, but we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars worth of additional spending and bailouts and government expansion that does not actually work on targeting the economic fallout of
I look at this. You pull up to an intersection, and while you're waiting for the traffic light, there's a guy that has a homeless sign up, says homeless, will work for food, and he may or may not be willing to, but just homeless, looking for money. And you give him the money, you don't know if it's going to really go to help him get food or anything, or if he's going to go down and buy some liquor. You don't know, and you have no control. That's what we're doing here. We're going to just be throwing this money out there, not really knowing if it's getting to those who truly need it, which means in turn, those who do need it will be shortchanged.
Yeah, and look at it this way. You know, somebody like myself, I'm working from home. A lot of, thankfully, we live in a country with technology that's developed where a lot of us, millions of us, are able to work from home safely. I don't need $1,000 put on the national credit card into my pocket. Furthermore, when you see it, like here in D.C., there's a lot of places that are shut by order of the state because they want to contain the virus. It's counterproductive. If you're going to give me an extra $1,000, I'm going to be tempted to actually go out there and violate the orders. So that's a public health issue. We should be taking that money and directing it towards those that actually cannot work, aren't earning an income, and help them be able to actually stay connected to that place of employment so that when we get back to normal here in a few months, hopefully we can resume at a much greater speed.
You're listening to Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation, and since you've moved into the issue of working remotely, we've got 5 U.S. senators that are in self-quarantine right now because they can't go, and they can't, and the rules are currently you have to be present to vote. You can't do it remotely. You got to be there. Are we not at a point in time that we could say, look, we can have you vote remotely, we can verify it's you. I mean, you're purchasing things with a credit card on a regular basis, and there's a way to do it now where there wasn't in the past.
Well, I think we know the Senate has their traditions. I think a lot of these traditions are grounded in reason. The Senate is supposed to be the great debating body of the world, where
I'm for that, but this is a different scenario.
Well, I think that there's definitely a lot of pressure that's being placed on it to reconsider that, at least in a time of national emergency, and we'll have to see where that one goes. I'm going to leave that one to the leaders in our Senate.
All right, Joel. Again, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and those around you, I hope, are the same.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Joel Griffin of the Heritage Foundation. This thing about some of the Senate Republicans that cannot go into the Senate and vote. I mean, you've got Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky. He tested positive already. I mean, tested positive, not just might have it, does have it. He spent much of the weekend on Capitol Hill, engaged in working lunches and meetings, and I don't know why the hell he did. He's not a, when we say doctor, he's not a physician, he's an ophthalmologist, but still he should have known, hey, if I might have it, I probably shouldn't be in these luncheons and exposing others, which he did. And now we've got staffers in his office have been working remotely as they can. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah said his physician said, since you were with Paul, I think you need to immediately self-quarantine. This means they can't be available for the vote. So they got 5 votes that are hanging out there for the Republicans they're not going to have at this point. And if the Democrats are going to try to push through some of these things and hold the Americans hostage, we know the game of politics. I thought we knew and I thought we understood. I thought we all agreed the other day. When I hear words from one of the most staunch anti-Trump people, Governor Newsom of California, and Governor Cuomo in New York saying he's doing the right thing. And right now we are not Democrats nor Republicans. We are Americans. When I heard that, I thought, my God, we are going to come together. And I would tell you this. Let's reverse the situation. Let's say it's Obama in the office and this happens. I'd be doing the same thing. You give the president every support and you quit sniping at him, which they continue. The resist movement continues to attack this president and everything from calling it a Chinese virus, which they don't like at all, to making up stuff. I'm going to get into that in the next hour, and I'll lay out details for you of what they've been doing. Also in the next hour, I do have, as I mentioned previously, a local woman, Callie Wakefield, is going to join us. She has battled autoimmune illnesses for some time. This is a very risky time for anyone that might be compromised. Be you older, be you have an asthma problem, be you have some kind of autoimmune disease yourself, you've been through some cancer treatments. I mean, you had to be especially careful. And for folks who think they can go out and say, well, I'm fine, and then they come to see you, well, then they might be exposing you to a deadly situation. We're going to get into that. And then I go back to how some of the left is thinking. A friend of mine, an educated man, not the one you're going to hear from shortly, took a snipe at Trump the other day. Said, I don't know how it was when I had two Republican presidents, but both times my 401k went to 201k. Ha ha. He's a doctor. He knows this is not Trump's fault. This is not Trump's fault because your 401k has gone to hell. But he wants to make political points off of it and joke off. I'm distressed over it. I don't know what I'm going to talk to him about it. And I may just say, nah, the hell, I'll let it go. But we do need to take a break. And when we come back, I want to deal with some other issues that are on the table. Dr. Rick Layman's also coming up. Should we ease the travel restrictions and everything at this point? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So one of the text messages coming in at Larry Connors USA Facebook, you can go to that line and add your comments as we go through the program. Michael White posting, Senate Democrats blocked a massive coronavirus stimulus bill from advancing. Schumer is expressing concerns the bill would benefit corporate interests at the expense of hospitals, health care workers, cities, states. Typical Trump, trying to pull off another fast one. Democrats looking out for the lower income working people. Michael, we should get your facts together. Yes, I know that's what Chuck Schumer claimed. And this, you can find blame on both sides. I'm going to acknowledge that any and every day. But when Nancy Pelosi came in, when the bill's now in the hands of the Senate, comes flying in and starts talking about, well, we need money for Planned Parenthood. We're going to need to have this days off permanent. We're going to need to get rid of college. No. You're taking a serious situation and, again, making it a political football. And, of course, you got those out there complaining that Trump doesn't know what he's doing. He's been mishandling it from the beginning. We're going to get into that in more detail, but I want to take a moment to that very point and direct you to the remarks from the director of the National Institute of Infectious Diseases, Dr. Fauci. He's talking about travel restrictions and how important they were that Trump put them in place as soon as he did. And what he said was basically, the U.S. is going to get hit by this anyway, but if we had not done it, if we had not done the shutdown of the flights from China, when the president made that decision, our situation would be worse than what they've seen in Italy. He said there's no doubt President Trump blocked a larger spread of the virus. Our death count in this nation now approaching 500. Question for you. I know many of you are upset having to stay inside your home more. You can't do much. And I pointed out this before. Years ago, your father, your grandparents were asked to go to war. Here you're asked to stay home, watch TV, play your games. Is that hard for you to do? And I know we all kind of get cabin fever. I understand that. And President Trump has been hearing, and he's now beginning to ask, is the cure worse than the disease? Do we need to pull back these restrictions? If we did it in a coordinated, justified, understood way, I think it could work. Not everyone is vulnerable, but the same token, if you're going to be going back home and having association with those who are vulnerable, it's not a good idea. But the American public is going to end up doing what it wants to. Many of them are already violating the restrictions anyway and could care less. Many think, well, I can do it, I'm all right, and I won't infect anyone. Maybe so. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Dr. Rick Layman. There's been talk of a miracle vaccine, and will that work? Where do we stand on going forward? And again, the debate I just raised. Are we doing too many restrictions? Would we be better to ease them at this point? Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You have alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what tells you if your home is invaded by something other than burglars? What if your home is invaded by creatures with six legs, eight legs, or more, or none? Rodner Pest Solutions can keep pests like these out of your house and get rid of any that might already be inside. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection, an estimate to protect your home anytime. Did I mention free? Go online to Rodner.com. Rodner.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rodner, the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri with 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rodner has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they make it right or you get your money back. I first called Rodner more than 40 years ago. I know they'll take care of you. Contact them, Rodner.com, Rodner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Senator Mitch McConnell, another statement from him regarding what the Democrats have been doing in blocking efforts to get the stimulus package through, get money into the hands of Americans who've lost their jobs or are on the verge of doing so. He said the Democrats will not let us fund hospitals or save small businesses unless they get to dust off the Green New Deal. That's pretty accurate. Joining us now, Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you back on board, Doctor.
Hi, Larry.
So let's take a look at some of the reports that this chloroquine might actually be some benefit in helping people. What's your take and understanding on this?
Well, so the French had 46 people that they treated with hydrochloroquine, which is Plaquenil, which is an anti-malarial drug, well known to every doctor because if you were going to go travel somewhere, you would take the drug not to get malaria in combination with the Z-Pak, zithromycin, which, you know, many, many Americans have taken for colds, different infections, very common antibiotic. And that combination has been 100% effective in the French study to resolve the coronavirus. Now, there's a couple cases in America. There's one, a famous case where a guy was in Miami and about on a respirator. He was given IV Plaquenil or hydrochloroquine and 6 days later left the hospital with zero shed of any of the coronavirus, completely resolved it. So I think it's promising.
Well, at the same time, I'm looking at comments from a Dr. Redlander, a pediatrician, director of National Center for disaster preparedness at Columbia University, and he's saying it may actually be unsafe to be used as a treatment for coronavirus.
Well, you know, some people feel that the combination has some irritability of the heart, but, you know, common things are common, and if other countries have had 100% proven effectiveness and I'm on a respirator, I'm going to give it a go. So, you know, everyone's going to say there's side effects, which there probably are, some liver toxicity, and someone's going to say, well, we haven't done all the American testing that we'd like to do, but dire times need dire treatments, and again, this seems to be one of the more promising. Now, there's 69 drugs currently under investigation to be tested for treatment for the coronavirus, one of them being Haldol, which is an anti-schizophrenic drug, one of them being metformin for type 2 diabetes. There's a number of antiviral drugs. So hydrochloroquine is not the only one, but it seems to be one of the more promising ones.
You raised an issue there, too, that some might carry risk. I don't know of any drug that doesn't have a risk. My God, you watch the stuff you can... When they do the ads on the TV for me, they can co-ask you the doctor about it. They start listing, by the time they finish listing what it might cause, I'm thinking, I think I'm better off without it.
Well, and if you would read, you know, the information provided with the drug.
Oh, I've seen them, yeah. Yeah.
So I couldn't agree with you more. But again, you know, if you're sick and nothing's working and there's not any other drug to treat it, you know, you're going to give it a go. And I, again, as the president has suggested, this might be one of the more positive. They're going to figure out a cure for this. You can take that to the bank. Now, the question is it hydrochloroquine? Is it going to be something else, some combination? But, you know, there's a lot of money going into research, and there's a lot of panic going on. So more scientists are going to figure this out.
So what is your thought when it comes to a patient saying, I know it's not intended for this, but I've heard reports I want it, and physicians say, well, you know, I might be going, where's the line for the physician to make a decision on something like that?
Well, again, I think if someone has a mild, comes in and they have a mild cough and they're not really sick and they tell me they want hydrochloroquine because they might have coronavirus, I would say, well, that's just not indicated, you're out of your mind. But if somebody, if I'm in an ICU and someone's on a respirator and nothing is working, you know, or someone comes in and they're very sick and they're having trouble breathing, et cetera, you know, I probably have a very low threshold to go ahead and prescribe that. So,
well, let's talk about any disease. I mean, where do you stand on that with any disease, not just this? I mean, anything that has not been approved by our FDA for use inside the nation. I mean, first of all, the risk and the liability it places on the physician, but secondly, the patient says, that's what I want.
Well, first of all, many, many drugs are used off, quote-unquote, off-label, and the physician has every right to do that. You know, Botox being one of the most famous ones for plastic surgery. It's never, ever been approved for the FDA to make your wrinkles go away. It's one of the most used drugs in the country. So, again, what the patient wants, in my opinion, is a very, very small factor as to what's safe for the patient. You know, I have to, in my heart, say, hey, this is safe for the patient and make the right medical decision. So if the patient says, I want, you know, heroin, I'm going to say, well, that's, you know, bad. But I think on the other hand, if I feel that the drug is safe and there's a good chance it's going to work, you know, I'm going to make that clinical decision.
In your years of expertise, I mean, in all these decades you've been practicing, how many times have you seen a drug that's being used somewhere else in Europe or somewhere else not being used here, and yet you know it's effective, it's been effective, and yet we're still not getting it passed through here? Or when we do, it's too late.
It happens all the time. I mean, and we actually go to Europe sometimes. You know, we have athletes that live in Europe, and we actually go to the European literature and use some of the drugs. Israel, the Netherlands, they're way ahead of us, way ahead of our FDA. And, you know, they've approved drugs that we've not yet gotten to that are very effective. So it does happen, and, you know, doctors that are forward-thinking are doing that.
You mentioned that Israel, you said, Israel?
Israel is one of the most progressive countries. You know, medical marijuana might be the most prototypical. They're using it for melanoma, they're using it for pancreatic cancer, they're using it for all kinds of stuff.
And I hear South Korea has been very on the cutting edge as well, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and we're just basically scratching the surface. So, again, you know, a forward-thinking doctor trying to do the best for their patient, you may have to go outside the country to try to find answers, you know, especially in a situation where 46 patients got better who were severely ill with coronavirus. I mean, by the time you get done doing the testing, like you said, it'll be summer. This whole thing will be over.
So the American Red Cross has put out an urgent plea saying the blood supplies are at risk, doubling down on calls for healthy Americans in the midst of this outbreak. I don't know if you've seen that. This just crossed.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big issue. You know, I mean, right now, blood transfusions and medical supplies, et cetera, you know, are at a premium in certain cities. Now, that's certainly not the case in St. Louis, but that might be the case in New York, and that might be the case in Madrid and different areas in Italy. But, you know, so far in America, you know, other than New York, we really haven't had, you know, the inoculum here in Missouri has been small.
Does that come into the issue of elective surgery? I mean, elective being, I mean, you do rotator cuffs. I know you do that. But if I'm in pain, I want it done. Is that considered elective at that point or something I could wait? Or, I mean, how's that viewed right now, reference this decision or at least an effort to push off elective surgeries?
Good question. So if the patient can wait and not be harmed 30 to 60 days, the recommendation is to wait. If the surgery, if waiting is going to cause harm or undue increase in the problem, you know, if you had an infection and we said, look, we had to wait 30 days, Larry.
A gallbladder issue that you either remove it or they suffer.
Right. Then that's no longer elective. But I think, you know, if you've had knee pain for 5 years and you finally decide to get it taken care of, yeah, I would call that elective and I would ask that patient to wait.
They're also saying that if you're carrying out these elective surgeries, you're using mask equipment and personnel that might be needed. Is that really that big of a deal at that point?
Well, again, in Missouri it's not because we don't have that many cases of it. And whether we're going to get a number of cases of it, you know, that are problematic, we don't know. The tide has changed a little bit. I saw a big article over the weekend in Los Angeles. They're no longer practicing this quarantining. What they're saying is, look, we're going to treat the sick people, but we can't test everybody, so it's not realistic to quarantine everybody. And if you are sick, you should self-quarantine or see a doctor. So, you know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to totally contain the virus in these areas of high density.
I know President Trump. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I know President Trump has stated that maybe we need to review some of these restrictions. Maybe the cure is worse than the disease.
Right. I saw that. So, you know, I mean, if you lose your job and thousands of companies go out of business and everybody's out of work and you've got 100 deaths in New York, I mean, you know, somewhere you got to see is the juice worth the squeeze. And I think that is a valid way to look at this. And are you going to turtle the economy, you know, and put many, many, many families at risk, you know, millions of families at risk for something that may turn out to be a virus not unlike other viruses that resolve itself when the weather gets warm, which is what viruses do.
All right. Final question. We're getting up against the clock here, but you, again, are a member of the International Olympic Committee. They say they're going to take up to 4 weeks yet to consider if they are going to postpone Tokyo. Canada's already said if you carry the games, we're not going to do it anyway unless they're postponed for a year.
Right. So the United States track and field team has sent a letter. United States Olympic swim team has sent a letter. So there have been probably 15 letters from different, you know, separate sports that have said, please, you know, postpone the games or cancel the games. I would be surprised if very many countries sent their athletes in Japan to take the risk.
Very good. Doctor, we covered a lot of territory. As always, I appreciate it.
Take care.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman. We'll take a break when we come back. Let me tell you what the World Health Organization, what it did, and has put someone in a position to cover the tracks of China and what China did, reference this virus. Please stand by.
Sugar pie, honey bun, you know that I love you. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In the midst of what we've seen China do with this virus, knowing full well that it was passed person to person, and claiming for several weeks it did not know that, and insisted it wasn't, even had the World Health Organization issue a statement in early January that it cannot be passed person to person, when China already knew that. And they had scientists of their own and their own healthcare workers exposed, and they were dying and losing them. And yet they said, destroy the evidence, destroy the information. We're not going to let the world know that we didn't report this at that point. And the World Health Organization carried the story. But President Trump, in evaluating, along with others, obviously experts, decided, you know, there are too many questions about what's going on over there. Stop all flights from China now. Stop any Chinese coming into the U.S. now. And immediately, former Vice President Biden, of course, campaigning all the time, called Trump a racist, as did Senator Sanders, as did every Democrat. And then, of course, a few weeks later, the president says, we're going to need to shut down all European flights for a period of time. So now he's racist against white European Anglo-Saxons, I guess. And, of course, they continue to condemn him because he uses the term China virus, which we're going to get to in the next hour. But here's what happened with the World Health Organization. The director general, who is now leading it, who helped give cover to China as it was trying to shirk responsibility for the coronavirus pandemic. The World Health Director General won his post in 2017 after he got backing from China. China. And now he's been providing cover for China. He's the first ever World Health Organization chief not to be a medical doctor. He had already been accused of covering up three different cholera epidemics when he was the health minister in Ethiopia. And no, he wasn't a medical doctor in Ethiopia either, obviously. But he's been praising China and China's transparency and said China's response to the virus was a model for other nations, even though I just told you the Chinese authorities forced scientists who discovered the virus in December to destroy proof of it. And then the regime punished doctors who tried to warn the public. A Chinese real estate mogul who criticized his government's response. Where is he? No one knows. He's just disappeared. One study found that if interventions in China could have been conducted 1 week, 2 weeks, or even 3 weeks earlier, cases might have been reduced by 66%, 86%, 95%, respectively. First we had was when a patient shows up back in the U.S. after traveling to Wuhan. That was America's first documented case. And President Trump said, shut it down. While the World Health Organization, with its leadership, who got his support to become president from China, said, nope, we're all good here. So have you seen what they're doing in Los Angeles? The mayor, Eric Garcetti, going ahead with a plan to move thousands of homeless people. I've been waiting to see, what are they going to do about the homeless? They tell everybody, shelter in place. Well, I'm on the street. Where am I supposed to shelter? Now they've decided we have a plan. We're going to take all the homeless, the thousands of homeless in L.A. Why do it now? If this was always an option instead of earlier. Anyway, they're moving them into rec centers in residential neighborhoods. How do you think that's going to go over? Not in my backyard. And they're going to start putting them in all these rec centers, which means folks in those neighborhoods who use those recreational centers probably won't be going back in them. And once you get the homeless in there, do you think they're ever going to take them out? I mean, And if you've always had that availability, why did they not do it prior to now? Well, because it'd be politically a bad, bad idea. And it may still be a politically bad, bad idea. But they're using the crisis of the virus as a reasoning. I'm not going to argue if it's plus minus. If it helps people, homeless or not, they need health care, be protected. But it's the politics of it again. If you always had this as an option, take care of the homeless, get them off the streets so they're not urinating and defecating everywhere, which creates its own health hazard, why haven't you been doing it? We'll take a break when we come back on the other side. I'll show you how the resist movement continues to attack this president and how they're now stopping checks from going out as quickly as they could to Americans who need them. And the story of a local woman, Callie Wakefield, at high, high risk because her immune system is a wreck. She is one of those who has to be very concerned about how this virus is getting around and moving through the populace. We've got it all coming up in the next hour. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.